FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and the date is September 21st, 2016. So, election, SDR, and grain prices, as well as coal, what's going to happen? What effect will the election have? And gold prices, where are they headed? Well, our good friend Woody O'Brien's with us now, the gentleman farmer from West Virginia. Woody, welcome back.
Hey, Kerry, great to be with you again. It's been too long.
Yeah. So what's going on in your neck of the woods there? Well, we have a major event coming up, potentially major event. Some say major, others say maybe not so major. But what's happening as far as the SDR, including the yuan or the renminbi, coming up for September 30th. The IMF's going to including it.
I'm with Jim Rickards that this potentially is a very, very big event. And the reason is the yuan is a huge currency to be added to this basket. The SDR basically stands for Special Drawing Rights, which is essentially an ETF of major currencies that can be used to clear global trade instead of dollars. This is definitely going to weaken demand for dollars, and that's going to have an effect on everything in the world that's priced in dollars, especially oil and energy and grain. I think we're already seeing the effect in bullion. We've had a great run this year for gold and silver. Have a little bit of a pullback here, which to me feels like it's over. And I think we could be several hundred dollars higher on gold by Christmas. We could be in the middle 20s by Christmas on silver. So it's hard to say whether this SDR event is going to be a grenade or an atomic bomb or something in between. But one thing's for sure, it's definitely going to not be a non-event because this is a major thing, raising the profile of China, getting their currency into the special drawing rights pool. And of course, that has to bring harm to the top dog of that pool, which is U.S. dollars and to a lesser degree, euros. I think this is long overdue. And it's one more notch in the bat of changing the dollar from no longer being the world's reserve currency. So people are getting ready for this. I mean, obviously, we've seen lots of events in the past that really could move gold higher and commodities higher, and they haven't had the impact that people thought they would. This is certainly another one of those. Will there be an explosion early next month in prices of dollar-denominated assets? We will see, but I think we're certainly going to see some positive effect. I would not be surprised to see gold $100 higher a month from now than where it is now.
Really? So you think it's going to be that dramatic and that quickly? It's going to happen.
Well, I think it's another signpost on the way to the end of the dollar being the world's reserve currency. And I think as that reality becomes clearer and clearer, and you have people that manage money and people who invest in money starting to say, well, the play is to have things that are dollar denominated that will go up in the event that the dollar has declined. And now you're talking about energy. Now you're talking about grains. Now you're talking about both gold and silver bullion. Those are the ones that could be the most immediate beneficiaries of this, especially the grains, because in the commodity, the grains have really been the weak sisters for a couple of years. We have very low levels of global grain supply. Obviously, weather is a factor there, but I think that probably the most interesting play between now and Christmas might be corn and wheat and soybeans. But I'd still rather own gold, and I still love the gold miners. They've been very volatile this year, but I still think they're dirt cheap, especially the junior miners that have more potential for expansion of supply in an environment where we're beyond peak gold and we're beyond peak silver. And with industrial metals being so weak, and copper mines especially being shut down on weak pricing, you know, they're substantial producers of gold and silver as a consequence of mining copper and other metals. So we've got a supply of dearth. We've got lots of reasons to own precious metals. And now we have this SDR event coming up. So it's a good recipe for good bullishness in the commodity sector.
Yeah, well, I know the arguments, and we'll see if the reality winds up mirroring the arguments. I've heard other things before, and I'm just a little bit skeptical. But hey,
I think with the number of false starts that commodities have had in recent years, people should be skeptical about where it is that we're at. But the thing they shouldn't be skeptical about is the major competition for a commodity assets is the stock market. Mm-hmm. And the stock market is so fully valued on the underlying fundamentals of the economy. And you see stories like that we're on Zero Hedge today talking about how a substantial number of the new employment data that the government reported were jobs that didn't exist. They just kind of conjured them into the statistics. And it turns out to be a misrepresentation of a gigantic size. So the economy is nowhere near as healthy as people represent it to be. That's the one part about comes the next president. They're going to have a real challenge because you can't get any more economic growth out of monetary policy and lower interest rates. The Fed is essentially out of bullets here to help the economy grow. So what's Washington going to do to get the economy to grow better? This is a question I'm not sure Trump or Clinton or anybody else has the answer to.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone has the answer to it here. But, so what about the election? You still thinking, what are you thinking about here? Trump what?
I think it's very, very interesting. My travels among Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania tell me that Trump is going to win going away just based on nothing other than the visible signs of support for him versus Clinton. But I'm a great skeptic of close elections and the power to cheat using electronic voting and D-Vol. That's very, very well documented. I think that Hillary Clinton has a huge electoral college advantage. And when you start to look at electoral college map, it looks very difficult for Trump. He's got some states he has to win, like Florida and Ohio, to put the numbers together to get 270. I actually think Pennsylvania is a must-win state for him, not just that he needs to win the electoral votes, but he needs to prevent Hillary Clinton from getting those in case his electoral map skews up anyplace else. But I still think there's a possibility that we're going to see a surprise and that somehow these libertarians are going to make it their way into the debate. It's they wouldn't need to pull too many electoral votes, maybe just one or two states, to throw the race into the House of Representatives. I think if an honest election were held and an honest count would occur, I think Donald Trump will be your next president of the United States.
That's a big if. Big if. Big if.
Yeah, that is a big if. And just look at the way that the Clintons cheated in the primaries against Bernie Sanders. I mean, the emails proved that there was absolute election fraud, especially in California, where the exit polls and the results were so far apart. And the biggest complaint was the Russian hackers who released it, and not the fact that election fraud had been affected by the person who won.
That was pretty amusing. Yeah, there's gambling taking place here. I'm shocked, right? I'm totally shocked.
But I would say that my read is, if it's an honest election, Trump will probably win by a little. I will tell you, though, given the scope of scandal that has followed Hillary Clinton around for decades and decades and decades, I think the thing that's astounding to me is the people who are for her no matter what. It almost reminds me of like the loyalty of the Cosa Nostra, that, you know, you take an oath to be a part of the family, and that it's that the most important thing is that you're loyal to her. Yeah. And to me, there's so many scandals and ethical problems I mean, this, the Clinton Foundation is a joke. This is a private hedge fund.
It's a worthy charitable undertaking, isn't it? What did I miss here?
They spent more money on travel than they gave away on charitable projects, and they spent more money on raises than they gave away on charitable products. It's probably the worst run charity in America, and it doesn't even deserve the term to be a charity. So I think it's the question of, that I see, though, in the election is, if all Hillary Clinton can do, how terrible she thinks Donald Trump is, but she can't enunciate any vision of positive what she's going to do for the country, people are left to the idea that what she's going to do for the country is a fundraise for the foundation in just a bigger way than she did as Secretary of State. Now she's going to get to be president and have pay for play as president. I don't think anybody can become president of the United States by only talking about the negative of their opponent. They have to say what it is they're going to do, for better or for worse. Trump has done that. I think he's been clear about what kind of policies he'll pursue.
I think you're
as president. I can't tell you what her economic policy is, or what she's going to do about the warfare and welfare state, or what her tax policy is going to be, because she's too busy telling me how Trump's language offends little children who don't vote.
Yeah, and evidently offends big children who do vote. So where does that leave us?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's an unusual circumstance when, you know, people who are really for her, and I hear this all the time among, you know, liberal people I know, they act like it's her turn, and her biggest qualification to be president is that, you know, she has a vagina. And to me, it's like, wow, you know, what happened to the country we're supposed to have, where you judge people by the content of their character and nothing else? Not the color of their skin, not their gender, but by their achievements and who they are as a person. Apparently, that's just all out the window with her. I had one of my liberal friends say, oh, you're just a sexist who doesn't want a woman president. I said, no, I don't really care. I don't care if someone is straight or gay or black or white or pink or purple polka dot. I want someone who's going to execute the job, do it well, and has some life history that tells me that they're capable of that. All I can see in her is that she is a corruption that follows her everywhere. But to be fair, I mean, I'm with Donald Trump on a lot of the economic stuff, but I've got real issues about what kind of hard policy is he really going to pursue. We've got as much problems with warfare state as we do with welfare state. And I can't help shape the feeling that Donald Trump's desire to make America great again is just pin action in his real mission, which is to do whatever is best for Donald Trump and his big ego. So, I mean, it's one of those, I would say it's an easy choice for me. I'm not fond of either of them, but we'll see what happens. And the truth is, if you think of this in economic terms, to be perfectly honest, the only investment that I can say that is really investment related to the election is coal. Because the one thing's for sure is coal's going to be a lot better if Donald Trump gets elected. And if Hillary gets elected, it's not going to be as bad as it was during the 8 years of Obama. So coal is kind of the only no-lose play that I can see that's election-related.
I don't know. She doesn't seem to love coal either, you know? And the fact that West Virginia is not going to vote for her doesn't seem to really bode well under a potential Clinton administration, in my opinion.
You would think that, but at the end of the day, you know, a third of the country still needs coal power to turn the lights on. You need coal to make the economy move, and, you know, when you're president, I think she's going to be much less destructive on coal than Obama was. Obama beat up coal just because he hated it. I think she's going to mace coal and raise money from coal for her foundation. And it's going to be so. If you're with her, you'll have favors. If you're not, she'll probably beat you up, but just not as bad as Obama did. We'll see.
I don't know, Woody. You know, when you think about it, they have no values and they don't really care about anything, right?
No, they don't. And I think for the average investor, the real thing that ought to concern them greatly is I think in terms of the S&P 500 and the Dow, I think under either scenario, under Trump or Clinton, there is not 5 to 7% of upside from where we are now. But I definitely think there's 30 to 40% downside in the S&P and Dow. And right now, in my investment newsletters, the only stocks we really own are ones that are involved in mining, especially bullion mining. I love the bullion miners, especially the junior bullion miners. They've been very volatile this year, but I still think they're cheap. And the other commodity plays, and in what would be considered mainstream blue chip kind of American stocks, there's only two companies that I have any money invested in for people at these at this point. I'd like to mention both of them if I can, because
sure,
they're both very, very special situations. The first is Chipotle Mexican Grill, which at one point in time has been over $700 before it got into these scandals about, you know, people getting sick at their restaurant, which never made any sense to me because the employees of Chipotle eat there all the time and they never seem to get sick. But to me, that is where McDonald's in 1961. The food at Chipotle is fantastic. It's healthier than any other fast food that you can get, and it's possible to take your wife out to dinner at Chipotle and not spend $17. I think that really puts them in a good place for the future. I think Chipotle is $1,000 to $1,200 a couple of years out. And the second one is a company called Varian, symbol is VAR. This is a company that makes the leading radiation device that all the big medical schools use to teach radiation doctors how to fight a cancer and treat people who've had cancer surgery. When you look at these machines cost about $2 million, they had a terrific business in the U.S. and in some of the bigger European countries. But there's as many people in China who are going to get cancer in the next 30 years as people live in the United States. And countries like China only have a very few of these $2 million radiation machines. I think this Varian Medical System, which is just a little bit under $100 a share, I think this could be a $600 or $700 stock 5 years out, because there's so many people in lesser developed countries that are starting to have the income and wealth that they're going to be able to have a lot more expensive medical treatments in future years. And this is literally the iPhone of cancer radiation devices.
Really?
These are the only two stocks that if the stock market crashed and these stocks went down, I would back up the truck and I'd buy some more, because I think they both have really great potential. I also, on the foreign side, we own a stock in Alibaba as low as $60. That's now about $100. I still think that's an incredibly well-run company. I think that's got lots and lots of growth ahead of it. I think that could be a $400 or $500 stock. That feels a lot like the Google situation. When Google first came public to me, that there's really just kind of unlimited potential. But other than those three names, you know, the big General Electrics, the Procter and Gambles, you know, the Dow components, Microsoft, I wouldn't own any of them if you pointed an AR at me.
All right. Well, that's understandable. So, hey, we got to leave it at that, Woody. So best place to find you. We're interested in your newsletter, which has performed quite admirably so far this year.
It's performed admirably for 13 and a half years now. That email or that website is woodyknowsmarkets.com. And I'm also on Facebook. I am the only Woody O'Brien on Facebook, but there is, of course, the Woody O'Brien Irish Pub in Saginaw, Michigan, which I have nothing to do with.
All right. So, and as always, you'll find a link to Woody's site in the show notes to our interview on the new financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Apologize for the outage. It was due to the upgrade of the site. Hopefully you'll enjoy the new site. It looks really good. And let us know any comments, feedback on what you're experiencing. Woody, we will talk to you again soon. Be well, my friend.
Hey, always great to be with you, Kerry. I'm always here when you need me.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.